Welcome to Trail Tales ARP,
a running podcast for every type of runner.
With Sean Sauban and Russell the Runner.
Run wild.
I love the chase and the hunt, and I set the pace when I'm running. I always take what I want, and I always give it 100. Don't need a bank, no, I'm funded. Play the game like it's nothing. I'm always thankful for something. Don't take for granted, stay humble. Now wake up! It's time to look at the enemy. Look in the mirror if he is no friend to me. It's not working out, maybe it's the chemistry. It's time to break up so I can make a better me. Better believe in your mind, cause it's everything. You can hold shape, find almost anything. All it takes is some time and some clarity to find your identity is mind over everything.
Hi everyone, and welcome to another amazing episode of Trail Tales ARP. We have an amazing guest from across the world with us today, Hannah Rollison, who's had an amazing journey in running in life. By the way, if you're watching this on YouTube, I know that I'm just realizing that my camera has a little bit of a glare, so I apologize for the inconvenience. Hannah has had an amazing life journey, and I connected with her through the Instagram world, and we're happy to have you on. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, really excited to be here. It's very kind things that you've just said about me. I listened to a few episodes of your podcast after you asked me if I'd like to join. And you've had some incredible runners on here who've done prolific running, so I've got like a sprinkling of imposter syndrome, I think.
you shouldn't at all. It's from our conversations, you've been on a journey that's special, and you shouldn't at all have imposter syndrome. Definitely, you've come a long way.
Yes, for sure.
So
I was just going to say, I've got my son here with me, being a small distraction. He's just run off with a ball. But if you see me looking off camera, it's because I'm trying to make sure he's not getting up to no good.
That's awesome. How old is your son?
He's seven.
Seven. I have a five-year-old nephew and an eight-year-old niece. So I know all about that. Yeah, they're just always moving around, right?
Yeah. Yes. Troublemakers.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. First question I have for you is how long have you been running, and how did you find running from the start?
Do you mean like how did I find it, like how did I get into it in the first place?
How did you get into it and start running in your journey?
So I've only been running for about 5 years, and I tried a few times before that, which I think of being like the proper start for me. I tried to do Couch to 5K a couple of times, but I think the first time I quit, I just stopped doing it like around week six. And the second time I kind of completed it, but I wasn't really, you know, my commitment to running was fragile, shall we say, and any slight reason not to do it, and I just sack it off. And then I'd had Noah, and he was about two and a half-ish. And I'd separated from his dad, and it'd been a difficult period. And I'd got to a point where I emotionally and physically, I wasn't feeling great. And I kind of felt like I've done as much drinking wine and eating cake and calling it self-care as a person possibly can. And I don't feel good, so maybe I need to try another tack. So I started Couch to 5K for the third time, and started doing a bit of strength training as well. And that was a time it kind of really stuck for me, but it was far from love at first sight. I still like really took my time with it. I know Couch to 5K is supposed to do in like 12 weeks, aren't you? And I think it took me about 6 months because I just didn't push it. Like, I knew at the time what I needed was to just take it really slowly and to build my confidence and try and build like a really solid foundation. So it took me about 6 months, as I said, to do Couch to 5K, and then probably another 5 months to build up to 10K. And that was kind of the point where I thought, okay, I feel like I can call myself a runner now. I can run for, you know, up to an hour, and that's fine. So maybe now I'll kind of start to explore and see where else I can go with this.
That's, I mean, we all have our beginning, and and while it was a long process for you in terms of going from couch to 5K, it's, you know, I think in a way that's a good thing, because you didn't give up on it. And yeah. while you could have said, perhaps running isn't for me, you were patient with yourself, which is important in running in general. And at least I find, especially in ultra running, in which now you're an ultra runner. So you've come such a hugely long way. And I mean, those humble beginnings, that's important. You know, like a story I always like to tell people is how hard my first 10K was. And I wanted to give up during it. And I actually didn't think I would finish it. So I ran it around a track out of perhaps not finishing it. So I think, you know, in ways, like, you and I had similar beginnings. And I think that's powerful in terms of, you know, being able to push through that and then move on to the next thing, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me, I still kind of feel the same about this, which will probably sound like a really weird thing for somebody who does ultra running to say, but I don't want it to feel really difficult. So I don't worry about time. I'm not a person who's ever going to go out and try and run a really fast marathon or anything, because it just takes all of the enjoyment out of the process of running away from me if you're really pushing it all the time. I want it to be fun and I want it to feel good. That's what the whole experience is about for me. And I think it has been, right from the start. I didn't want those, especially because I was a single mom with a full-time job. I thought, if I've got an hour, maybe a few hours to myself for a week, I don't want that hour to feel like I'm punishing myself. Like, I want to enjoy this process, so I'll take it really slowly.
That's a strategic approach by you. And, you know, it's important to enjoy running. It's, well, we certainly have our moments of, being miserable perhaps, or having a hard time in running. If we can maximize enjoying it as much as we can, that's certainly a beautiful thing. So my next question for you is, you know, so it took you 6 months to move from from the couch to the 5K, and you've been running for 5 years, which is actually similar to me. I've been running for coming up on 6 years. And at what point did you find that ultras were calling you, and you know, what was your progress like up to 10K, the half marathon, and marathon before ultras?
My dog's making a noise now. I got up to 10K kind of around November-ish 2019, and then I signed up for my first half marathon. I signed up for a race, which would also have been my first race. That was the date for that was at some point in October 2020. And then we all know what happened in 2020. So that race didn't happen. But I think, like, actually 2020 in terms of my running was kind of really a turning point, because I carried on training as if I was still going to do the race in October, in my own sort of Hannah way of, well, I'll just add a mile to my long distance run, like, every few weeks, and then build up to that half marathon. But obviously, during 2020, like everybody else was, I was at home a lot. I spent half of the time when Noah wasn't here on my own, and running, and then also strength training alongside it, kind of really, it gave me a structure during COVID, which I think otherwise during those lockdowns, I probably would have really struggled. So it became like when I wasn't working and wasn't with Noah, my entire kind of focus. And it was also the year that I started using Instagram and joined the Instagram community, which was so good for me in that period as well, because I wasn't really talking to anybody other than Noah and people that I work with. So Instagram really, really helped me. But also, yeah, it really opened up my eyes. This is when I first discovered that ultra running was even a thing that people did. It was kind of towards the back end of 2020. I didn't even know at this point that there was a difference between like trail running and road running. I just got a pair of shoes and wherever I went in the same pair of shoes. And I was like, oh, okay, trail running is a different thing. We're supposed to have different footwear. So I think that was the first time that I discovered that ultra running was a thing that people did. But I think I was kind of always focused on, so what's my next step? So after I'd done the half, I was like, well, I still feel like I've got more in me, so I'll just keep adding miles on. And I'd kind of got up to a point where I thought, oh, I think I might try and do a marathon, and I broke my toe. So this was like you and I were talking about before we started recording. I had such a stupid injury. I was running across the room to try and save a vase from Noah, kicked a table in the process and broke my little toe. So that kind of really set me back. And then I was kind of back to square one, well, you know, going back up to doing a slow 5K again after that. But I just kind of carried on building it up. And then I got to do the point where I'd done a marathon. But after the marathon, I still kind of felt like not satisfied, I think would be the word, not satiated. Like I was tired, but I felt like I still know I've got more in me. And I joined a local running group. And in that group were some women. It's kind of a group for women. And there was a couple of women there who had done ultras. And that was kind of it for me. Once I'd met people and I was like, oh my God, you're one of these ultra runners. I want to do this. And now I feel like I can kind of say it out loud because I've met some of these other crazy people that do it as well. And then I signed up and did my first ultra the following year. So it's probably a good 2 or 3 years of running before I entertained the idea of doing an ultra, I think.
You were smart to give it that long of a process from my perspective. And yeah, I think so. Well, I mean, everyone's different, right? You know, I think it all depends. Like for me, I grew up playing sports. With that said, I got into ultras more quickly, and I'm happy that I did. That said, I mean, it's always interesting. I think it's good just to be very progressive and moving into ultras for most humans, right? And I think, yeah, we're rare. And I'm happy that you found that group that that could help you move into the ultra running world and foster that belief in yourself that you could do it. That's an amazing thing. And so how long were you training for your first ultra then? I mean, I guess technically 2 to 3 years, but specifically.
Yeah, good question. So this is another kind of funny one. So I started training for that. So last year I had two ultras that I'd signed up for. So I was doing one called Run to the Sea, which is a 50K run down in the south of England near Brighton. And then one like 7 or 8 weeks later called Race to the Stones, which is again, south of England, and that's 100K. So I was gonna use Run to the Sea as my sort of step up to the 100. And then in February of last year, I injured myself. So I got a hamstring injury, which kind of took me, I didn't run for 6 or 7 weeks, picked it up again at the beginning of April or end of March, beginning of April. And I had 5 weeks until the 50K. So I trained basically for 5 weeks and then ran my first ultra still with a gammy leg, because that's what we do, isn't it?
That's yeah, I mean, find a will to find a way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite impressive how you had the mental fortitude to push through that And of course, yeah, I figured when we had talked, I was near positive you had mentioned that 100 kilometer journey, which is beyond incredible. It's very rare to find humans who are willing to push into those triple digits, as we call them, right? And so what did you find that you learned about yourself? Perhaps maybe the three top things that you found that you learned about yourself throughout that journey.
Three top things. Wow. The first thing that springs to mind is that, so I'm the kind of person who has a tendency to be very self-critical and very, not very nice to myself at all. I know that we all do this, don't we? But I think it kind of exists on a spectrum of like healthy self-criticism on one end to self-criticism that can be borderline crippling on the other end. And I tend towards that very unhealthy end. And what I discovered, especially, I mean, this was probably before the ultras, but once I started pushing generally into longer distances, was a really, really nice part of myself that wasn't like, "You're finding this hard, Hannah, you should stop," but was more like, "You know what? You're finding this hard because it's hard. And you're struggling because it's difficult, and that's fine. And that doesn't mean that you have to stop. You just have to keep carrying on. And you've already done 10 miles. You can do another 5. And then when you're at ultra stage, you've already run the marathon. You can run another 40 miles. That's fine. You can do it." Like, I think that's something that I found in myself that I could then find that voice afterwards. Outside of running, if you know what I mean, just a nice part of less harsh part of myself. But I think I also realized that what I need to kind of get through difficult things as well is just to focus on the kind of immediate next step. Do you know what I mean? I find nothing worse than when I'm doing a long run. And you have that moment where you might stop and look at your watch and think, "Oh, I've already been running X number of hours. If I do the maths, I've got another 8 hours to go." That's the worst moment. I think just realizing actually all you need to do to get through difficult things is just forget all that, because what you can do is just put one step in front of the other and keep doing that until you can't anymore. And more often than not, you'll find actually you can keep putting one foot in front of the other until it's over. Do you know what I mean? Think that's something that I realized. I can't think of a third thing. I think just generally, that I can do difficult things. That's probably something we all learn about ourselves when we're running ultras, isn't it?
Absolutely. I love everything that you just shared. It's all incredibly powerful with regards to how you open that in terms of mental health, and especially in the context of COVID-19, it's and just self-critique and you touched on the different levels. That's incredibly powerful. And I'm happy for you that that running could transform that for you to a more healthy version, because that's important in life, and that's what you deserve for yourself, and that's what we all deserve, yeah, that's a beautiful thing, and yeah, with regards to essentially how I would view your second point there is the power of the present moment, and yeah, putting one foot in front of the other, and I think while our steps always look similar, I think that each step has a different meaning in life, because no one moment is ever the same. We are constantly changing and evolving, and while I didn't have the pleasure of being on that journey with you, I would imagine that you were constantly changing and evolving throughout that incredible adventure. And yeah, the third thing is an amazing thing. We absolutely, if we have the right mindset and and we align, I find our heart, spirit, and soul to a dream, we can get there, and we can do those difficult things, and we will do them, as long as it's within health and injury concerns, of course, right? It's yeah, I think that's important, right? In terms of longevity and being alive, right? So
yeah,
I think I love all those answers, and I think you know, I'm sure our audience will as well, because those are all such important things in running. And so I'm curious, how many ultras have you run? So, I mean, you've been running ultras for about 2.5 years then. How many have you done?
Oh, well, so it's only really been, it's been less than 12 months. So I did my first ultra.
Oh, that's right, because it got delayed. That's right, you mentioned that.
Yeah. So only May last year was my first one, and I've done two, and I've got two or three more planned for this year.
That's amazing. You're being progressive with it, which I think is good. You know, yeah, I think to have two or three in a year is strategic. I've had a different approach.
Yeah. I've been like hundreds.
No, not hundreds, but yeah, 35 in 5 years. But
which is ridiculous, really.
Yeah, and 36 marathons too, because I guess the marathon becomes short, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing Edinburgh Marathon at the end of this month, and I feel like a bit of an idiot when I tell people I'm using it as a training run for the ultras that I've got later in the year. It feels like, oh, you're such a running knob, Hannah. Don't say things like that to people.
That's way
Sorry.
Too funny.
That's... Didn't use these words, should I? But yeah.
A running knob. No, that's great. That's brilliant. We're grassroots. I'm sure our audience will find that funny. It's yeah, I think so. I mean, I know you've been struggling with like a bit of an injury this year. But I know recently I've seen you out. I think just the other day you did a 20-mile run, and how did that feel for you? And yeah, the Edinburgh Marathon coming up in a month now, right?
Yeah. So same injury again as last year. So I've clearly learned no lessons from 12 months ago, but I've got hamstring injury again. I think slightly worse this time because I ran on it, which, you know, we're not supposed to do, but I was just like, well, it's fine, so I'll carry on running. So again, it's been a bit tricky. Picked up training probably a bit too late, with about 9 weeks to go, but I was caught up with myself from where I was. And yeah, I did 19 and a half miles yesterday. So like from an injury perspective, it's slightly niggly, but you know, there's niggly and I'm not going to run on it. And then there's niggly and I'm just going to see what happens. And we're in the second bucket at the moment. And I feel pretty good about marathon. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm not trying to be fast or anything. I'm just going to go and do a slow plod. It'll also be my second official marathon. I did my first one a few years ago, and then I was meant to do another one, which was unfortunately cancelled when the Queen died. So, which is, yeah, made sense, I guess. What was the second part of your question that you asked me? Sorry, I've forgotten.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, mainly, yeah, prep for the Edinburgh Marathon, which,
yeah, I mean,
it's good that it's just, you know, in that second niggly category, I think it's manageable. And yeah, I think that's a good approach by you to just finish the marathon, because you want to ensure that you're healthy. And then, when are your is it it's two or three ultras? It's because it's a big difference.
It's officially two. So there's one at the end of July. I'm doing 100K, and then there's one in September. But I think it's because I've been feeling like, well, I've only got Edinburgh, and then I'm going straight into 100K. I probably need to do something in the middle. So I think I'm going to do a 50K. In June, whether or not that's official race or if I just go out and find a route to run, I'll probably just go out and find a route, because it starts to get expensive, doesn't it? I mean, you will know this since you're doing, I guess, and you must be doing like a a marathon and an ultra marathon every month, you must be spending a small fortune on race entry. So I'll probably just go out and run something and see how it goes out in the streets.
I think that's good. Most of my journey is independent because, like you mentioned, yeah, the costs are, you know, but I don't mind the costs. I don't mind paying the money. But I just personally prefer going out on independent, autonomous adventures. And I don't find, and this is something that's interesting because, like, I see in you, but maybe you could clarify, I don't think we need organized events to hold us accountable. I think you'll be out there no matter what.
Yeah, 100%. So I totally agree. And the first few years of my running, obviously with 1 year of that being COVID, I'm highly motivated to do this on my own. I don't particularly need a medal. I like the kind of security that comes with knowing you're going to get to a station where someone's going to be able to give you loads of food, so you don't have to carry that around with you. You don't have to plan via shops and that kind of stuff. But I would definitely do it even if there weren't organized events, for sure. And that is no shade to people who love the events and love the medals and love the timing chips and all that kind of stuff. It's just each to their own, right?
Absolutely. If truthfully a person finds that they need the organized events to hold them accountable, or just they get excited about being a part of a special community and connecting with others, then that's an amazing thing. I think you and I, like, we're good being independent and autonomous that way, right?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. But I would say there is something in that community feel, I think, in a race. I think, no, so I haven't felt it so much in shorter races, but I think definitely on ultras, where it feels a bit more like you're kind of in the trenches together, there's a real good sense of, I don't think there is another word. Is
camaraderie?
There camaraderie? Yeah, camaraderie. And like, oh, I found my people in a smelly tent at 11 p.m. where the only people here, the only people who are here who are people who have this same drive in them that I have. And there's that real sense of like connection and like, you know, I know these people and some, I don't know them at all, but also I really understand them and know them on some level.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's, we all have that, exactly. You said it so well, that same, drive and, dream to get to where, you know, the dream is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, coming across someone randomly during an ultra, like, you could be out there on your own and, you know, shout out to my friend Adam French. We would talk about this. And, you know, it's like you're running alone during a race and suddenly you come across just two other people who are out there. Instantly the connection is evident and it's powerful. And from there, you connect deeply and, you know, you see each other through, whether it be to the next aid station or maybe for a long time. Right. And those are amazing things. Right.
Yeah. And then you just move on. You leave them.
Yeah. You listen to yourself and you just do what you need to do to achieve the day that you're looking for. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I'm with you on that. I've had a passion for the ultra running community as well. There's certainly very powerful aspects of connecting with people who are like-minded and maybe a little bit crazy like us.
Definitely crazy. It's definitely something that I say to people when they ask, you know, when they say stuff like, oh, I could never do an ultra run. I'm like, well, you could. The only difference between me and you is that I've decided that I'm going to do it because I'm a little bit weird. The training's not that hard, is it? You just do it.
Yeah, there's always a great humor around ultra running. And right. I find aside from the great humor, I you know the what you learn about yourself throughout the journey and how far you come personally. That's it's beautiful, and it's something that is deeply personal, and you know, I think that's what we're all looking for, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we must all do it because it connects to something inside us, whatever that drive is that makes us want to go and do things which are, there's no getting around it. At some point during a race, you're going to be really miserable and you're not going to want to carry on. If you're like me, you'll have a good cry and you'll run crying for a while and think, why am I doing this to myself? Why did I pick this hobby? Why didn't I pick like knitting or crochet or something I can do from inside the house? But, you know, like you said, you carry on because there is something inside you that pushes you. You've got that drive to do it because you want to reach that end goal, and how you feel in the present moment isn't, you know, that important in the grand scheme of getting you to where you want to be. You know?
Absolutely. It's, yeah, you described it so well there. And it's, you know, we're all here, and it's an amazing thing that we're here. And yeah, there's certainly something deep within us that keeps us going to find out what this life is all about, right?
Yeah. Keep it out. Let me know.
It's hard. It's hard to understand fully why we're here, right? But we're constantly searching for it.
Right? Yeah.
Do you you've had a 100 kilometer ultramarathon journey? Do you have dreams of 100 miles?
Well, don't tell anyone. But yeah, I think that's in the back of my mind. I definitely want to try and push it further. As a theme running through this conversation is that I like to do things kind of incrementally. So I'll try and find something, I think, in between 100K and 100 miles first. I'd also really like to try like a 24-hour event, or I'm interested in the, like, how that's a very different mental challenge, I think, knowing I've got a time period to run for rather than I've got to meet a distance, and I can do that in as much time as I want, you know, within cutoffs. So I really want to try like a 24-hour timed event and see how hard that is and how, what I find out about myself again in dealing with that completely different sort of challenge as well.
It's incredibly challenging. I'll
yeah.
But you already know that, and I'm happy. I'm happy you're curious and passionate about pursuing that, because I can see within you that you have what it takes. I find that you're being strategic. I would recommend perhaps trying 125 kilometers. That's 77 or some, yeah, about 77 miles. That could be a nice building block before 100 miles.
So we have the race over here called the Wall, which is along Hadrian's Wall at the bottom of Scotland, top of England, which is about 77 miles, I think, 77 or 78 miles. So that's on my list of things that I think I'd like to do.
That's amazing. That's it's fate that it ends up being the exact same distance as what
I know. I know. It's like they knew when they were building it, they were like, should we make it like a good distance between 100K and 100 miles so people can run along it? How clever of them.
Just super, super, yeah, just, you know, attractive and wanting to go for it, right? It's yeah, they totally did that on purpose.
Yeah, those Romans, they knew what they were doing.
Gosh. And so, I mean, obviously there's, you know, it's a long life. Obviously you want to see that you could work up to 125K and 100 miles, but do you ever see yourself going on perhaps multi-day adventures or anything of that nature in your life?
Yeah, I think possibly. I've got so much respect for people who can get up and do it again the next day. I think maybe you and I should speak again after I've done like 100 miles, because I tend to just focus on what's the next challenge that I want to get to and not think about the one after that. Do you know what I mean? That's been my whole process, you know, think only of 5K and then think only of 10 and then only think about the half marathon and then the marathon and then 50 and then 100. So yeah, ask me again in like 12, 18 months time and I'll tell you. I mean, it's definitely tempting, but I'll see how I get on with the longer events first, I think.
Yeah, I think that's smart to one step at a time, and one focus at a time. That's the way to do it. And I wanted to ask though, because I think I see in your spirit and your soul that and perhaps your heart that you would have what it takes to do that, perhaps in the future, but to be decided, right?
Yeah, I mean, and you can definitely come and give me a pep talk beforehand, because this is exactly the kind of stuff that I need to hear.
Definitely, yeah, I would be happy to. Well, I guess it looks like we're running out of time on this free yeah. Zoom version. You know, Hannah, this has been a wonderful conversation, and it's been very nice to connect with you here, and I'm sure we'll chat again in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you very much for speaking to me. It's been fun.
It's been a lot of fun. And so we like to end the podcast with a saying, and I don't know, maybe repeat after me. Run wild.
Run wild. Is that maybe, it? Oh, I was waiting for more.
Maybe let's try one more time. Okay, you ready? Run wild.
Run wild.
That's it. Amazing. Okay.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Trail Tales ARP, a running podcast from Sean Sobond and Russell the Runner. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at trail_tales_ARP. Check out our YouTube channel at Trail Tales ARP. And you can catch us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Please don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Catch you next time. Run wild. Math when I